in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better wake them up, get them up, get them going on MLK Day on B&E. It's a Monday. It's a good, bad, and ugly Monday. Wild card weekend in full effect in the NFL. Super wild card weekend at that, and it was just that wild over the weekend with two games Saturday, including a thriller Saturday night, Sunday, yesterday, three more games, and another wild one in primetime last night. More of the same anticipated tonight in Tampa Bay when the Dallas Cowboys wrap up Wild Card Weekend in Tampa. We will certainly preview that game, look back at the five that are already in the books as they're all set for the divisional round in the AFC. NFC will be settled this evening in Tampa Bay. Hope you had a great weekend as we roll into a Monday morning. A lot of folks will be off today enjoying the federal holiday and the national holiday to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, but we will certainly be here talking football with you, getting you into your work week if you are going to work today and having a heck of a lot of fun. Also recap a big weekend for Texas basketball. Good news for Texas football over the weekend came down, and on Mondays on this show, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend that was. Hopefully yours was mostly good, and we appreciate you being there to start your week on 104.9. Maybe it's 101.9 FM, maybe AM 1260. Could be live and local and digital with us on our Horn app, always on your smart speaker, and always, Mr. Godbolt, at hornfm.com.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for the great job that you do in the past, in the future, the present. You'll always be there for us. We do appreciate that to you and your families. And it will be another lovely day in the capital city. Absolutely, almost 80 degrees today. Ooh. And tomorrow. Then the possibility of rain on Wednesday or Thursday. Looking like we're going to get some thunder showers later in the week. But as for the next 2 days, sunny and nice. And especially tomorrow, Tuesday is going to be beautiful.
Yeah, midway through the first month of 2023. Pretty darn nice. We'll take 80 and a nice breeze yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
Good, get on outside and get on outside weather yesterday for sure. It's going to be
today. Lots of breeze last night, man. Stuff moving around.
No question.
Keeping me up.
Oh, yeah, the wind was gusty pretty good yesterday out of the south. And more of that on tap today. As you get up and out on this MLK Day, and plenty of ways to celebrate that today. If you're going to head down to the University of Texas, I think about 9 o'clock this morning, they'll start at the MLK statue and march to the Capitol, then march over to Houston Tillotson for a celebration and an event there this morning. The annual march through downtown Austin and the campus, then east. That'll get going, I think, about 9 o'clock this morning. So a lot of ways to enjoy that if you're going to be off today. Or just enjoy your day away and get you ready for the Cowboys tonight, Buck. If the Cowboys game tonight with the Buccaneers, you know, if what we've seen over the first couple of days of the NFL weekend.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen in the National Football League. 27-0, doesn't matter. 17-0 yesterday for Buffalo. We'll get into the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend. But before we get to our scores and our headlines of the weekend, safe to say the 49ers' most impressive team of the weekend?
No doubt.
Followed by the Giants, I guess. New York Giants were really good yesterday in a win in Minnesota. Your Vikings just don't play any defense, my friend.
They have no defense. I knew Daniel Jones was going to run all over them.
I mean, ran through. They did whatever they wanted when they wanted. I mean, Minnesota, they if you're a Vikings fan, which you are, you're thinking, well, we had Mike Zimmer, who was all about the defense, and maybe we got the offense figured out, but now we don't play any defense. Vikings season end, the New York Giants.
Their young coach went real conservative at the end. I mean,
yeah.
In the second half, I was like, dude, come on, just fire it.
Yeah, and the
they
Giants.
Can't cover the tight end.
Speaking of young coaches, Brian Daboll, who might be the coach of the year, his team was buttoned up and ready to go in Minnesota yesterday. That was really, really impressive. And how about the swing of a game last night? Let's get to the headlines, get you to the scoreboard, and then we'll talk some Cowboys, Bucks, and the rest of the weekend. But first, the news. QBO Business Services brings it to you. We'll start in the National Football League. You have five games now down and in the books. One more to go tonight on Super Wild Card Weekend. If you missed it from Saturday, doubleheader there. That's where the 49ers outscored the Seahawks 25-6 in the second half. They turned a one-point halftime deficit into a pretty easy and impressive 41-23 beatdown of the Seahawks. That's their 11th straight win. Now they're on to the divisional round. Wild one on Saturday night. That's where Jacksonville, the Jaguars, fell behind the L.A. Chargers 27-0 thanks to Trevor Lawrence and four early interceptions in that game. But Lawrence didn't waver and helped rally the Jags to the third largest playoff comeback ever, and they take down the Chargers 31-30 on Riley Patterson's 36-yard field goal on the game's final play. Lawrence then went on to throw four touchdown passes after the four early interceptions. They get the victory there that on Saturday night. Then yesterday, the Buffalo Bills raced out to an early 17-0 lead, but then had to hold on for a 34-31 win over the Miami Dolphins, who were down to their third-string quarterback. Bills did get the victory, though. Then yesterday in the middle game was the New York Giants rolling into Minnesota, taking down the Vikings 31-24 behind a tremendous performance from their quarterback Daniel Jones. Threw for over 300 yards. He ran for over 80 yards and a couple of touchdowns that he threw there. A nice win for the Giants. They advance. And they will face the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend in the divisional round. Then last night, Cincinnati held on for a 24-17 win over Baltimore. How about this game turning? The Ravens were looking to go in and take the lead in the fourth quarter from the goal line. Game flipped on one of the most bizarre plays in playoff history.
Third and goal coming up. Right around Hundley. He reaches. Oh, that ball's out. That's live. Back the other way. Sam Hubbard. The Cincinnati kid. Hubbard's got a convoy. Chased by Andrews. At the 30, the 20, he will score!
Mike Tirico with the call on NBC last year. 98-yard touchdown return for touchdown, a 14-point swing in a 7-point ball game. The Bengals advance. The Ravens season is over. And then, of course, tonight it's Monday Night Football with the Buccaneers and the Cowboys. We'll certainly preview that big game. Cowboys looking to win their first road playoff game in 30 seasons. Big weekend at Texas for Texas basketball over at Moody Center. Yesterday, the Texas women outscored the 15th-ranked Iowa State Cyclones 16-6 in the fourth quarter. They run away with a signature 68-53 win for Vic Schaefer and the Horns. They are up now 4-1 in Big 12 play. On the men's side, comeback Longhorns were at it again Saturday night as the 10th-ranked Horns rallied from double digits down to beat Texas Tech 72-70 in another Big 12 thriller. Texas was down 10 early in the second half, but rallied behind Marcus Carr, who led the way with 20. Timmy Allen added 17. And just like earlier in the week, in their rally to beat TCU and come from behind fashion, once the Horns grabbed the lead, it was Serge Jabari Rice who helped to seal it from the foul line. Senior calmly drained five big free throws down the stretch. Longhorns as a team made 9 of their 11 freebies in the game's final 137 to improve to 15-2, 4-1 in Big 12 play for head coach Rodney Terry.
I give our guys a lot of credit. They stayed together, and you know, again, we didn't get off to the kind of start we wanted to and what we wanted. The thing we keep talking to about and learning through this a little bit is, you know, we've got to get lost playing really hard on defense and put some stops together early in the game. We don't know how well we're going to shoot the ball, but we've got to be able to take care of the basketball, get shots on our terms, and then just get lost playing really, really hard on the other end of the floor.
Big week for the Horns ahead. Two road trips. They travel to Ames for a top 25 showdown with 14th-ranked Iowa State tomorrow night, and then a trip to Morgantown. Face West Virginia on Saturday in the always tough Big 12 Conference. Great news for Texas football came down this weekend as well. Official word from Texas linebacker Jalen Ford that he will be back to anchor the Longhorn defense in 2023. Did test the waters in the NFL, but he'll be back. The rising senior from Frisco led the Horns with 119 tackles this past season. Also 2 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries, and 4 interceptions on his way to first team all Big 12 honors.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, so the weekend is in the books. 5 teams have advanced to the divisional round. The AFC is set where it will be all divisional winners. The Chiefs will host the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Bengals will be in Buffalo to face the Bills. We know over in the NFC, the Eagles will host the Giants. The Cowboys are Bucks winner tonight. We'll head to San Francisco to play the 49ers. That's yet to be decided tonight, Buck. Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, Cowboys, Buccaneers. We will preview, and what did you think of the weekend?
I think the Giants are sick of seeing the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Feels like they've played them 3 times in the last month. I know they got to be like, again?
Yeah, they have. They played them twice in December.
Wow.
You're right about that. Now they're going to play them again because we know that they, you know, reseed this. So now the lowest seed remaining are the New York Giants at 6. They're going to go play the one-seeded Eagles off a week off.
Man, which,
I'm assuming they'll be favored. But those, as we found out this weekend, with three of the five games we saw were divisional matchups, Seahawks, 49ers, Bengals, Ravens, Dolphins, Bills, there's just so much familiarity. You're not fooling anybody.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, the scouting reports are deep. I mean, you know, players play against one another head-to-head every year for twice a year. So there are no secrets. And, gosh, even Miami was almost able to pull one away from Buffalo yesterday. The Seahawks felt like they were in the game into the third quarter, and then the 49ers just erupted on them and showed their explosiveness, dominated that third quarter and fourth quarter to the victory. And then last night, man, even with Tyler Huntley at quarterback, Baltimore looked for all the world like they were going to go into Cincinnati and stun the Bengals in the Queen City. They're lining up, you know, after tying the game at 17 on a long touchdown. Now it looks like they're going to take the lead. Joe Burrow and the Bengals offense is struggling, and you heard the call from Mike Tirico, Buck. 98-yard flip of a ball game as Tyler Huntley's trying to reach over the goal line to break the plane. It gets knocked out of his hands. Clearly not a touchdown yet. Didn't get there. Ball, you know, bounces right into the hands of Sam Hubbard, the defensive end, and he races no one in his way. 98 yards later, he's in the end zone.
I saw a lot of quarterbacks throw interceptions this weekend, just tons and tons of bad picks.
Oh, my gosh. Trevor Lawrence threw four horrible ones early, but then it didn't matter. They just kept coming, and it kind of – I don't know what –
Yeah, they'll be looking for a new coach there.
Yeah, the L.A. Chargers are probably going to have – you know, with Sean Payton out there, that name is going to percolate for sure. But, Brandon Staley, can you come back from that? Can you come back from 27-0 lead? Justin Herbert, all you need, as all Houston Oilers fans know, yes, the defense has to fall apart, but the offense has to completely stop moving the ball.
And they did.
And unfortunately, former Longhorn Cameron Dicker missed a big field goal in that stretch. Everything had to happen right for the Jags to come back, and they did. Kind of felt like when they got that touchdown right before the half.
Oh, yeah, that's when it was, yeah.
To make it 27-7, and they knew they were getting the ball back coming out of halftime. They went down and scored and made it 27-14. Like, okay, got ourselves a little bit of a ball game here. And that's when it felt like the Chargers and their young coach and young quarterback kind of seized up, and the crowd got back into it in Jacksonville. Then the long touchdown to Zay Jones from Austin High. Got up over the top, and all of a sudden, pressure mounts on the Chargers.
Yeah, they had kept him down the entire first half.
Well, they didn't do anything in the first half. I mean, everything he threw was intercepted, it felt like. Like every time he threw the ball, you're like, oh, there's another pick. Well, there's another pick. Well, there's another interception. What do you know?
Bad ones. I mean bad ones, too.
Oh, man, just not reading the defense, thinking he's in man and it's in zone. I mean, they are just easy interceptions. And so it looked like the Chargers are going to blow that game out, roll into the next round, and get a signature playoff win for their young coach. Not the case. Jacksonville all the way back to win it. And you're right, the interception, Josh Allen. I mean, we did not get to see that Bills-Bengals game we know on Monday Night Football with the DeMar Hamlin situation. Well, now we're going to get to see it in a playoff game in Buffalo. And if the Bills quarterback continues to, it almost feels like he's trying to play hero ball, Buck. Everything's going 20, 30, 40 yards down the field. He's not just taking the easy play, it doesn't feel like. And he keeps turning the football over.
Oh, yeah. And then when he was trying to get to his tight end, they had him covered up. I mean, when it was, he should have been thrown to him much, much sooner. But, yeah, their offense gets a little bit stagnant. I thought they'd run the ball a little bit better.
Yeah.
And try to run, but it's almost they want big play after big play.
Well,
there.
Sometimes it reminds you of watching the Longhorns this year with Quinn Ewers and Sark, and just everything's trying to hit the home run all the time.
Yep.
Instead of just taking the singles, and that felt like it should have been a much easier win for them over Miami. The Dolphins are down to their third quarterback in Skylar Thompson, who's not very good. Yet the Bills just kept giving them.
Well, they had a game plan for him, though.
I mean, it was a lot of charity from, and obviously you got to give the defense credit for the Dolphins. They forced a couple of things, but it was like if you're Buffalo at home and you don't turn the ball over, you're going to win that game easily. What they do, they turn the ball over, and gave them easy opportunities. And you give the Dolphins credit. That's a Dolphins team, and they did announce this weekend, or at least said that they expect Tua Tagovailoa to be back as their starting quarterback next season. And we don't know, can you actually buy stock in that? With his health issues and three big concussions or major concussions this year. But, man, if the quarterback plays good, that's a good team. I mean, they're talented.
Yeah, they're pretty good. And they're not bad on defense either.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a defensive line.
Bradley Chubb had a big strip sack yesterday. I mean, But, man, that's why I'm saying moving forward, if you're the Bills, you're, okay, survive in advance. That's all you're trying to do in the playoffs is get a win, and you don't draw pictures on the scorecard, right?
No. Nope.
But at the same time, if you keep turning the ball over Josh Allen, you're not going to be the Super Bowl like they want to be. He has to take care of the football. I think, he said it afterwards. He knows that, but it keeps happening. I mean, this has been a problem for him this year. The turnovers.
You're right. I love when he comes to the mic at the end and says, this is on me. Well, it keeps being on you.
Yeah.
Eventually, you're not going to get away with it.
Yeah, critical turnovers in big spots. The most impressive team, San Francisco, is just so damn explosive. And as we talked about, the fact that Debo Samuel is back playing for that team, that guy's a problem, Buck. When he gets into open field, he is just a load.
Yeah, that deal down the sideline was ridiculous. Somebody pushed that guy out. Somebody take an angle at least.
Yeah.
He went right by him.
I mean, when he gets the ball, on these little crossing routes, it's like, well, now you got Adrian Peterson with the ball or something. He's just a monster in open space. And Christian McCaffrey's ridiculous. And what can you say about Brock Purdy? I mean, the guy just continues to make plays. He's accurate. He looks unfazed. Doesn't matter that he's a last pick of the draft rookie playing in the playoffs.
No, he's running that offense like nobody's business right now.
And then he's,
you can forget about Jimmy G being back there. Bye, y'all.
I mean, he's just comfortable as he can be, and he's got a great defense. I mean, that was the biggest part I thought of that second half. I mean, there was the point there in the third quarter. It's 23-20. 49ers have the lead, and the Seahawks are driving. They're into scoring territory, but they take a loss on first down. So now it's second and 15, and you're thinking, okay, Pete Carroll, let's be smart here. You're already in field goal range. Don't do anything silly here. No, it was 23-17 at the time, and this is when Geno Smith. So I'm thinking on second down, okay, just get 5 yards, get 6 yards, make it third and manageable, give yourself an opportunity. And instead, they go for the pylon, they go for the deep shot on second and 15. That leads to third and 15, and on third and 15, here comes Bosa, strip sack, he fumbles the ball, they pick up the ball, 49ers have it, they go right down and score, and at that point, the game's over. That's where I think the Seahawks just need to manage the game better in that spot.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I thought Jaylen Waddle had better hands. He's kind of got some inconsistencies with his hands. There's some balls that he drops that come across the middle.
For the Dolphins?
Yeah. He's one of those.
The balls for the Dolphins early in that game were critical.
Jaylen Waddle, you'd think, is the guy who can just go get them with his hands. I mean, some of the easy catches, he makes some great catches, but he misses some easy ones.
Well, that was brutal. I mean, Skylar Thompson, I don't think he's a very good quarterback, but his receivers were not helping him early in that game. I mean, they those lost yards, those lost plays were big for them. And Tyreek Hill had a couple drops early, really it was Jaylen Waddle was the biggest culprit of that yesterday. Miami, I thought, fought hard. Buffalo kind of made it easier, tougher than it needed to be, it felt like, in that game. And that'll cost them against Cincinnati if they're not careful.
And I knew Daniel Jones was going to have a field day running on them on that Minnesota defense. Their defense is really, really bad. It's bad in that secondary.
It just looked too easy.
And so now you got the guy that used to play at Minnesota. Is he playing for the Cowboys tonight? Is he starting at cornerback?
No.
Xavier Rhodes?
He's just on the team.
I don't know if he's even been elevated on the practice squad yet.
Yeah, Cowboys brought in Xavier Rhodes. They're just looking for answers on that opposite corner side.
They just need a body.
And
a warm body for the cornerback position.
It's almost like bringing a veteran like that. If Tom Brady just starts to roast whoever you've got out there tonight and gets going, gets comfortable.
Yeah, bring him in so he can grab and hold just a little bit.
You got to have somebody to try, right?
Yes.
It's like, hey.
Somebody's got to get pass interference at least.
Because Brady will get after it this evening. Yeah, Cowboys, obviously, the last game tonight, and we'll talk about it and preview it coming up. We'll talk about the Longhorns' big win at the Moody Center on Saturday and yesterday. The New York Giants, Buck, I mean, they're really impressive. I mean, what Brian Daboll has done with Daniel Jones, what he's done with that offense, I mean, coaching obviously matters.
Boy, and they got some fatties on defense that move that line of scrimmage now.
Well, Dexter Lawrence out of Clemson is a difference maker on the D-line for sure for them. I heard yesterday that he's got as many quarterback pressures this year as he's in the top five of the league in
that dude
quarterback
has
pressures
bigger
from
since
the interior.
He got out of Clemson. I thought he'd slim up. Hey, he's bigger.
Well, he is a 340-pound man who moves like he's 240 and just wreaks havoc. But, Giants are a good team. But you're right. They're going to go play Philadelphia, who, has beaten them twice now, this year. But what Brian Daboll has done with Daniel Jones and what he's done with that offense, you know, it's similar. You know, Brian Daboll was the offensive coordinator in Buffalo when Josh Allen, who we just talked about, took the huge steps forward, became kind of a project quarterback out of Wyoming with a big arm, and helped him develop into this, you know, all-pro star quarterback you see. Daniel Jones was kind of an enigma in New York. What's he going to be? He's Danny Dimes. Did we draft him too high when they took him out of Duke with the sixth pick and was always kind of maligned for that pick? Well, Brian Daboll has put him in positions to succeed this year.
And believe me, he doesn't have great receivers. That's for damn sure.
He doesn't. And give them credit for that, too. This guy, Isaiah Hodgins, steps
Boy,
in.
Boy, did he have a bunch of catches.
Yeah,
yes.
Eight catches, I should say, yesterday, 105 yards and a touchdown. He was the guy off the Buffalo practice squad. The Bills released him just recently, and they grabbed him. Obviously, Brian Daboll familiar with him and what he was on that Buffalo roster. Kind of tells you how talented they are in Buffalo. But Darius Slayton had a good game yesterday. But when you're watching the Giants, it's guys are running wide open. Like, where's the coverage, Minnesota? What are we doing here, Vikings?
Now, where's the pressure?
No, I said it last week, but if Dak loses tonight, is Daniel Jones above him on the QB power rankings?
Well, I mean, that's going to be the pressure on Dak Prescott tonight to go perform. I don't think he's worried about Daniel Jones and quarterback pecking order, but you know what? I mean, this is when you make your legacies.
That's right.
You're in the month of January and into February, and Dak Prescott doesn't have much of one at this point. Daniel Jones, in his first ever playoff game, now has a signature win where he set a record yesterday. No one had ever thrown for over 300 yards and two touchdowns and ran for over 75 yards, which he did yesterday. He ended up being their leading rusher, Buck, with 78 yards rushing, and a lot of those were smart. I thought Brian Daboll designed runs to take advantage of the Viking secondary.
Or early in the game. Didn't he run like five times in a row?
Oh, yeah, on their first drive. I mean, and these were designed. I mean, it's pretty clear that, you know, having just played the Vikings in the regular season in December, familiar with what they do defensively, when he got the look he wanted or saw.
Now, he's a big dude. He doesn't get jacked up that often. Now, he'll trip and fall by himself without you touching him, but he doesn't get jacked up. You know, he falls forward. What is he, 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah, big guy but can run, yes.
Yeah.
Very athletic, and that's why previous general manager Dave Gettleman, you know, drafted him so high, and people wondered. But, you know, he's got a lot to like. He's big. He stands in the pocket. He throws a pretty ball, and he can run. Almost 80 yards rushing yesterday on 17 rushes for the quarterback. That was a big part of their offense yesterday.
Yes, it was.
And you're right. Kevin O'Connell, the young coach for the Vikings, needed to be more aggressive. I mean, they were only down a touchdown. They needed to move the ball. And they got plenty of offensive weapons. Didn't like the play calling late for the Vikings.
No.
And an opportunity there, and they end up losing 31-24. Giants advance to face the Eagles. Niners will wait for the winner of tonight's ball game. As we said, the AFC is set, and we'll take your thoughts on those games. Buffalo, Cincinnati, and Jacksonville. It's all division winners in the
AFC. I got the Cowboys winning tonight, but it won't matter. They can't beat San Fran.
That's kind of my thought, too.
Yeah.
But we'll see. And, you know, obviously that I know Jerry Jones was adamant, not the case, but if the Cowboys lose tonight, got to think Big Mac Mike McCarthy is in trouble. To the Dak Prescott detractors in conversation. Legacies, man. This is a huge game tonight. The whole world will be tuned in to see the Cowboys. And then, as I said, and it's been said a lot, can they win their first road playoff game in 30 seasons?
After all the
seasons?
Picks during the weekend, is Dak going to still? Am I still? He's got to have one, right?
There was some
picks
this
weekend.
Let's
just don't fumble. No fumble, no pick six, no fumble six. Just throw your basic pick where they fall down, you touch them, and it's in their territory. How's that?
No red zone picks.
No red zone picks. No. No.
That's my one rule for him tonight.
Okay.
No red zone picks?
And no picks coming out.
Just don't
Or you
any
give it
picks.
To him on that side of the 50.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, let's just.
Just throw your pick within the 40s.
There you go. Get it over with.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, so your thoughts, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the five games already played on Super Wild Card Weekend. There's one tonight. We'll get to the Longhorns as well. Craig Way has his report this hour as usual to start your Monday. We've got some B&E facts of the day. Here we are on an MLK day. A lot of folks going to enjoy the day off. We are certainly here talking football with you on the Show of the People. It's T.Y., it's Buck, it's me, and here we go. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Watch me! Watch me! I got it.
B&E on a Monday. It is MLK Day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, federal holiday. As we said, the march and the parade from UT campus and the MLK statue down to the Capitol and then over to Houston Tillotson this morning. I think that gets going about 9 o'clock this morning and wraps up with a bit of a festival there in East Austin to celebrate the life of Martin Luther King Jr. today. So a lot of folks will enjoy the day off. We'll get ready for the Cowboys and the Buccaneers tonight. You'll hear it live here on the Horn with the 7:15 kickoff. And obviously the winner advances to play the San Francisco 49ers. Can the Cowboys win their first playoff game, road playoff game in 30 seasons? That's such a mouthful to say, but it's true. 1992-93 season is when the Cowboys last won a playoff game. Now, I believe that was an NFC championship game, and they're on their way to the Super Bowl. But that's how long it's been, 30 years. 30 years. I'm in college, Buck, last time this happened. I'm 20 years old.
This is the year.
This is the day. This is the night coming up.
This is the night.
This is the night.
Well, it feels like the Buccaneers are there to be beaten. I mean, that's for sure. They're an under 500 team. But I know we talked last week about Tom Brady saying they're as healthy as they've been all year. I think that's important in that part of the reason they're under 500 and have been inconsistent this year have been the injuries, especially on the offensive line. They feel pretty good about that group. Their receivers are healthy. And we know this for the Buccaneers side against the Cowboys, but they got to be able to run the ball a little bit
tonight.
Yeah,
if they run the ball, then I'm nervous.
That's right.
If they run it successfully, I'm nervous.
Well, and obviously we'll all watch, but you have to think that's what Byron Leftwich, the offensive coordinator, and Tom Brady are thinking. You know, we're not just going to line up and throw it 50 times and beat this team. We need to be able to run the football. And obviously Cowboys have been susceptible to some run games this year. We'll see if they can if they can't establish it. You feel really good about the Cowboys tonight, but if they can get some run game going with Leonard Fournette and the young guy Rashad White, the rookie running back, that will be problematic for the Cowboys tonight. Same time, Cowboys are one of the highest scoring teams in the league. You feel like, I mean, how many points can the Buccaneers score? I mean, maybe 20, maybe 21.
I was thinking 17.
And the Cowboys can hang in a big number when they get going. So how do you get your offense cranked up? I mean, it's one of those things, if you're a Cowboys fan, you watch the 49ers and the way that they use their people, their personnel. It's like, why isn't Kellen Moore using Tony Pollard like they use Christian McCaffrey? Why aren't we using, CeeDee Lamb like they use Debo?
I mean, yeah, now is Pollard hurt? I mean, they did use CeeDee Lamb. He was coming in reverses and getting the ball out of the backfield. Then they stopped.
I'm talking about tonight. I mean, we need to see it. Kellen Moore.
But then they stopped doing that, actually. At the end of the season, they stopped doing it because they needed CeeDee Lamb going down the field as a pass receiver and not so much as a runner. But, I mean, that's the stuff that Francisco stays with. They don't have any particular games. They do it bread and butter. He's going to carry the ball a couple times a game.
From the backfield, whatever.
Right.
They're going to make sure that they impose Debo Samuel on you.
Absolutely.
You're going to have to deal with our best player. That's just what's going to happen. And that's creativity. That's just the Kyle Shanahan way. And, Kellen Moore, you have some of the same type of personnel. Use them. Don't put this all on Dak tonight. Use your people and attack this Buccaneers team. By the way, it did percolate over the weekend that the Vegas Raiders do plan to aggressively pursue Tom Brady. Aggressively pursue Tom Brady. We know that Derek Carr has said adios to Vegas. Josh McDaniel and he were like oil and water. And now, if Tom Brady, he'll try to beat the Cowboys tonight. If he doesn't, his next stop might be Vegas.
Vegas,
and,
baby.
Our man Tom Brady, win or lose tonight, showing no signs of walking away from football.
Man, I can see him with that offense and that defense. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. This says Alvin Harper with the catch. That's right, Alvin Harper with that big touchdown 30 years ago. It's been so long. Cowboys have to get a playoff win tonight. I mean, Dak needs this. Mike McCarthy needs this. They've got the better team.
I still think Mike McCarthy needs this for his job, or he's going to be gone.
Well, this is
Jerry can say one thing, but he is going to be ticked off on a Tuesday morning before he has to go on his radio show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last year when they lost to the Niners in this same round, I mean, it was as mad as we've seen Jerry Jones in a long, long time. This one, I mean, look, I mean, you hired Mike McCarthy for these games. I mean, Jason Garrett was winning you for some football games. You were making the playoffs.
Right.
It was about making a run because Mike McCarthy has a Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl. Was that all about Aaron Rodgers? Is that about Mike McCarthy? Is that the combination? That's what you hired him for, and this is your opportunity. Now, and here's the thing. If you can't win tonight, Buck, with this Cowboys group, you're looking around. Brian Daboll is a good-looking young coach.
Well, I mean, Philadelphia ain't changing anytime soon.
And Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia seem like a team on the rise with Jalen Hurts. Brian Daboll just showed everybody coaching matters, and he rolled into New York, and the Giants looked like a totally different group from one year to the next, from Joe Judge to Brian Daboll. We know Kyle Shanahan has got his thing going. Also over the weekend, Buck, in the NFL, Sean McVay confirmed that he does plan to be back coaching the LA Rams next year. Point being, if you're Jerry Jones, I mean, is your coach up to snuff? Is your head coach? Coaching matters in these games. How do you use your people? How you deploy your weapons? How are you attacking teams?
The Miami Dolphins should have even been near in that game, and they were. And that was because of coaching, I believe, yesterday.
I think Mike McDaniel did a great job of having his team in that game with a third-string quarterback and finding ways to manufacture points and create opportunities for his team. I thought John Harbaugh last night with an injured backup quarterback had the Bengals on the ropes. I mean, coaching absolutely matters in these games because every play is so critical. Every play is under a microscope. All of it matters. All of it matters tonight. And that's why, you know, in L.A., the Chargers are questioning Brandon Staley. Your Vikings are kind of wondering about this Kevin O'Connell, a first-year coach who all of a sudden the Minnesota Vikings can't run the football. Why can't when you got Dalvin Cook, you got Alexander Mattison, you got a pretty good offensive line, you have a great passing game. How do you get into a playoff game and run for 43 yards in a playoff game?
And let the other opposing quarterback outrush your running back.
I mean, the opposing quarterback had more rushing yards by double than your whole team. I mean, that's got to be a question that you're asking yourself if you're in Minnesota. Like, why can't we run the football? It appears we have the personnel to run the football, yet we don't. That to me comes down to coaching and what you're intent on doing. And that brings it back to the Mike McCarthy conversation. You know, he's the head coach, Buck. You've got to deploy a game plan that highlights your weapons, that attacks the weakness of your opponent. I mean, all the things that go into a playoff game. And, you know, if Dak Prescott has had a problem throwing interceptions, well, protect your quarterback.
By the way, this is why you picked up T.Y. Hilton now, too. Guy that's been around. For the Cowboys, I'm going to look for him tonight, Ty, to be a part of some big plays tonight. Now, it doesn't have to be touchdowns, but it has to be first downs, you know?
Third downs.
Third, yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, look, if you're counting on T.Y. Hilton, I mean, he was a spare guy off the street coming in. You got to – I don't disagree that he can't have an impact in this game. I'm saying, who are your best players? Get Tony Pollard impacting this game tonight. Make sure he's impacting this game a lot.
You think he's healthy? Is he healthy enough?
I think so.
Well, then he should do everything tonight.
I mean, he's not on the injury report. I mean, weaponize your people. This is what you and Kellen Moore have to do. I mean – steal what the 49ers do with Christian McCaffrey. See all the ways that they use him. I mean, Christian McCaffrey's all over the field. Stressing a defense from the slot receiver position, from the backfield, on screen plays. I mean, Tony Pollard has that type of explosiveness.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, get him the ball.
We did early in the season, for sure.
I think CeeDee Lamb has that type of run-after-catch explosiveness. Weaponize him. Is Dalton Schultz, George Kittle? No, but he's a good player. This is what I'm saying. This is where coaching and deploying your weapons and using your weapons and having a smart, well-thought-out game plan that attacks your weaknesses of your opponent, this is how you win playoff games. This is how you get in and you beat a Tom Brady and not make it
better. Yeah, this won't be about just calling plays for the sake of calling plays tonight.
No. Yeah, it's having a plan and executing said plan. And, you know, last year – think about this for the Cowboys. The number one offseason goal for Dallas was to get more physical, right? They wanted to be a more physical football team because in that 49ers game last year, they got bullied. 49ers were the much more physical football team in that game, and they beat the Cowboys 23-17. Well, I mean, they went out and they drafted a big, what they thought was a bully on the offensive line in the first round. They drafted two or three tight ends that they want to go to those two, three tight end sets.
That's right.
And be physical. Well, okay. Well, let's see it. Be physical tonight. Be creative with your physicality, and you're going to be okay. You'll beat what is an under 500, you know, not great version of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They have their struggles on defense right now.
Yeah, attack their weaknesses with your strength. You're a 12-win football team. They won eight. This is where coaching matters. And if you don't, the coaching will be revealed. Bad coaching will be revealed in these games. I think we saw that over this weekend. Good coaching is rewarded, bad coaching revealed, and Cowboys have an opportunity tonight on the road at Tampa. You'll hear it right here on the Horn. We'll get to the other NFL of the weekend. Obviously, the AFC playoffs are set for the divisional round. We'll start to look forward to those games as well with Jacksonville and Kansas City, Buffalo and Cincinnati. That's the game we never got to see the resolution of because of the DeMar Hamlin situation and that scary scene that Monday night. We're going to get that game in its full entirety this weekend in the AFC, and we know we're getting Giants-Eagles again.
again
in the divisional round, and we're getting the 49ers hosting whoever wins tonight in this game. We mentioned Tom Brady going to be pursued by the Vegas Raiders. Sean McVay back with the Rams. That was made official. And were you surprised to hear the Dolphins give their endorsement to Tua? That we're planning to have Tua Tagovailoa back?
No, because his record when he's healthy. But they're acting like it's like a no-brainer. He's going to be healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, I expect him to hit his head sometime on the turf next year and be out. When he plays and he plays an entire game, they win games. They're like 8-1, 8-2.
Well, they're dynamic offensively, and you saw yesterday their defense will scrap and fight and find ways to keep themselves in games. I think the Dolphins are an emerging team. I mean, they're a team. If you're buying stocks, I think you'd think about buying them. But your biggest concern right now is the health of the quarterback.
Yeah, I'll get with him in fall camp in the summertime because he's going to have to. He's going to hit his head. His head, that helmet will hit the ground.
Well, if you've seen his three concussions this year, they were all him falling backwards.
And slamming his
and
head.
Slamming the back of his head.
Yes.
All three of them. The first one against Buffalo, and then we saw it against Cincinnati on that Thursday night game.
I don't think none of it's been helmet-to-helmet stuff.
No, he hadn't been hit by another opponent. He's been kind of that whiplash thing where he's banging his head on the ground from, on the backside. So, yeah, that's going to happen in football games. I mean, you're a quarterback.
Spending their money on their offensive line again this season.
Well, that would be sharp. And, much like you see Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco, Mike McDaniel comes from that Kyle Shanahan system. You know, it felt like the Dolphins could never get both running backs healthy at the same time. Mm-hmm. To have Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert, to have both guys going. Mostert was hurt yesterday, so they only had Jeff Wilson. But that's right. I mean, if you get Miami healthy, they look like the real deal in that division. Obviously, Buffalo is the top dog in that division right now with Miami on the move. All right, we'll come back. We'll continue the NFL chatter. It's a good, bad, and ugly Monday. Got to get to some Texas basketball. The Longhorns.
And Kansas City has to play this week. They don't get to be off again, do they?
No, they got to play.
They got to play somebody.
But they get Jacksonville, which
you throw four picks against this group, and there are going to be a bunch of scores on the board.
Well, I believe the Chiefs beating Jacksonville. Well, I'll look into that because I think the 49ers and the Jags are on a streak that they haven't lost since they lost to the Chiefs. One is a six-game streak for Jacksonville. The 49ers won 11 straight since they were torn apart by the Chiefs way back. So we'll look into the playoffs. We'll get to the Longhorn basketball team as well. A couple of really sad stories and tragedies coming from college football. We'll get to all of it. It's B&E with you on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. First, it's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Monday on the Horn, B&E with you. It's an MLK Day Monday as we're getting you ready for the Cowboys and Bucks tonight. Call it a pregame show that starts at 6 in the morning. Cowboys and Tampa for the right to play the 49ers in the divisional round of the NFC's playoffs. We'll talk all about it. Also talking the games that have been played, five of them. One to go. We got Texas basketball as well. Talking about the Longhorns and Horns continue to find a way, Buck. We had our first visit with Coach Rodney Terry on Friday.
Boy, am I glad they won. I didn't want to be the
jinx.
No, my goodness.
Well, and you knew as we talked with Coach Terry on Friday, Texas Tech was going to come in, blazing because they're 0-4 in conference. But we know in this conference, even the bottom teams are good, and they were going to be playing to avoid being 0-5, and they did. They came in and played the Longhorns off their feet in that basketball game. But this group's got a resiliency to it and a toughness to it that they find ways. And you heard in the Craig Way report, if you were listening, Jabari Rice. I mean, that guy just continues to be a rock for them in critical moments of basketball games, making free throws, making the right play, getting to the foul line in the first place. And he is a guy they can rely on.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Terry must have got in the locker room at halftime and said, hey, enough of this. These first half, I mean, he must have ripped into them a little bit.
Yeah, they're down 9, 34-25 at the intermission. And
I mean, they're good players in that first half. I mean, Marcus ended up with a pretty good game at the end. Man, his defense early was terrible. First half, they were not very good defensively.
Well, and that's what we heard. We'll hear from Coach Terry coming up in our headlines at the top of the hour. They've got to come in with that defensive intensity to start with. They can't just ramp it up as the game goes on. But I do think it's a luxury. The Longhorns, it's one of the reasons they've won 15 of their first 17 games, is they're deep. I mean, they got more depth than most teams as far as talented players deep on a bench. So over the course of a 40-minute game, I think they're going to be the fresher team at the end of games. They're going to be able to play with that intensity in the biggest moments of the game. But, yeah, if they can find a way to play with more intensity early, that's really going to have to be the recipe, because we know this, Buck. Four of their next six games are on the road, and it's really tough road trips. This week they got two of them.
Yeah, I don't believe they can overcome a game like going to Iowa State and playing like that. And
well, and I just
down.
And I don't know how long they can overcome the absence of Tyrese Hunter, because you know the Iowa State transfer going back home. They're going back to where he started his career.
What a nice place to get well.
I mean, he played 26 minutes the other night, Buck, and had 0 points. He was 0 for 4. He threw up an air ball at one point. Well, it was kind of a wide-open three. He is really, really in an offensive slump right now, and they need to get him going. I mean, that's the one guy. I mean, without Sir Jabari Rice off the bench with 29
right.
minutes and 18 points, he has just been a godsend for Texas. Without him, where would they be? Becomes a fair question, because Marcus Carr has been good all year. And he scored 20 points, and Timmy Allen had his 17, and you know Dylan Mitchell's doing his thing. They really need, if they get Tyrese Hunter going, get him out of his slump.
Oh yeah,
they're going to be as good as anybody. I mean, because you get he and Rice and Carr going at the same time, watch out. This team will be really, really scary, and they're pretty darn good as is. But they've got to figure that out. But Buck, I mean, there are not a lot of teams in college basketball. You go down to the 10th guy, and he's getting 13 minutes on the floor. I mean, Brock Cunningham, Arterio Morris at the back of the bench, those guys are playing double-digit minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the depth this team has. There aren't a lot of teams that are able to do that with the talent that Texas does. But the key is going to be for Rodney Terry and this staff to figure out what's going on with Tyrese Hunter and kind of get him maybe going back home. Maybe playing at Iowa State would be a good thing for him.
So that's Tuesday a great place night. To get well, is get back to where you came from.
Yeah, he was an All-Big 12 player there last year. He's not playing to that level right now. But Iowa State is, right? Texas and Iowa State are both 4-1 in the Big 12. I watched Iowa State play a great game with Kansas this weekend. Jayhawks are tough as always, but man, this will be a tough week. And it's four of the next six on the road for Texas, which is, you know, they only have two home games. They're going to go to Ames, they're going to go to Morgantown, they're going to go to Knoxville, they're going to go to Manhattan and Lawrence in their next six games. And the only two home games are a Baylor Big Monday game, Jan 30, and then Oklahoma State a week from tomorrow here. The other four of the six are on the road in tough places. And so this team, as you said, Buck, earlier defensive intensity, can't fall behind double digits on the road. You probably won't come back. And it's pretty clear that the Moody Center helps this team.
Certainly does.
I mean, that crowd, the corral, I mean, it's a part of their comeback. It's a home field. It's a home court advantage Texas has never had, certainly not at the Irwin Center, and they have it. But the road will be a problem.
Well, you like to come out of halftime leading by 8 or 12 or something like that. Instead of saying, oh, we got to get in this battle again. Here we go. We got to have a shootout.
Well, they're down 18 to TCU, came back and won it. They were down 10 to Texas Tech early in the second half, came back and won it. And but you know what? We talked about it the other way with the Texas football team. The Longhorns find ways to make critical errors in big moments.
Not this group. They find ways to win.
This group finds ways to make plays and make foul shots and make winning basketball plays in critical moments.
Shooting has been unbelievable.
That's a sign of a good team right there that can find ways to win basketball games. All right, we'll come back. We'll pick that up. We'll hear from Rodney Terry. We'll hear from more of these Longhorns as they move forward. Texas women also had a big win last night. And, yes, super wild card weekend. Five games down, one to go. It's the Cowboys in Tampa. We're previewing all morning long here on B&E.